that there's anything behind them? And ultimately, do you even care about an answer? The work is wonderful because it leaves you with the real thing beyond all answers. It leaves you with no concept of who you should be. There are no models, no ideals. The goal isn't to be wise or spiritual. You just notice what is. I like to say, don't pretend yourself beyond your own evolution. What I mean by that is, don't be spiritual. Be honest instead. It's painful to pretend that you're more evolved than you are, to be in the position of a teacher when it's kinder to yourself to be in the position of a student. Inquiry is about the truth, which doesn't necessarily look the way you think it's supposed to look. Truth is no respecter of spirituality. It only respects itself, just as it appears now. And it's not serious, it's just God laughing at the cosmic joke. If someone comes toward you with a gun and says he's going to kill you, and you're scared, go ahead and run. That's no less spiritual than any other reaction. But if you don't have a belief about it, you're free. You can run or stay, it doesn't matter, because whatever you do, you're at peace. Oh, you might think, he thinks he's going to kill me. You could just as well be filing your nails. That's freedom.
Why did the ancient masters esteem the Tao? Because being one with the Tao, when you seek, you find. And when you make a mistake, you are forgiven.
I love that what is of true value can't be seen or heard. It's nothing and it's everything. It's nowhere and it's right under your nose. It is your nose, as a matter of fact, along with everything else. It can't be reached or achieved, because as soon as you start looking for it, you leave it. It doesn't have to be achieved, only noticed. Nothing anyone says is true, and no thought that arises within you is true. There's nothing, and yet, here's the world again. The sun in the sky, the sidewalk, the dog trotting along on a leash. When you understand that you're one with reality, you don't seek because you realize that what you have is what you want. Everything makes sense because you don't superimpose your thinking onto reality. And when you make a mistake, you realize immediately that it wasn't a mistake. It was what should have happened because it happened. Before the fact, there were infinite possibilities. After the fact, there was only one. The more clearly you realize that would have, could have, should have are just unquestioned thoughts, the more you can appreciate the value of that apparent mistake and what it produced. Seeing this is forgiveness in its totality. In the clarity of understanding, forgiveness is unnecessary.
Act without doing.
When I pick up one of my adorable little granddaughters, wipe her nose, kiss her, put her in the high chair and feed her, I do this not only for me, but to me as well. Loving her is loving myself. I don't see any difference. And because I love myself, I can love everyone who comes into my life. At the age of 43, I became my first child. I loved me, and that love was without condition. It's the power of one. Because I loved me, this one apparent person, hundreds of thousands of people are learning to love themselves. That's what they tell me. I fell in love with myself one morning in February of 1986. I had checked myself into a halfway house in Los Angeles after years of suicidal depression. A week or so later, as I lay on the floor of my attic room, I felt too unworthy to sleep in a bed. A cockroach crawled over my foot, and I opened my eyes. For the first time in my life, I was seen without concepts, without thoughts or an internal story. All my rage, all the thoughts that had been troubling me, my whole world, the whole world was gone. There was no me. It was as if something else had woken up. It opened its eyes. It was looking through Katie's eyes. And it was crisp. It was bright. It was new. It had never been here before. Everything was unrecognizable, and it was so delighted. Laughter welled up from the depths and just poured out. It breathed and was ecstasy. It was intoxicated with joy, totally greedy for everything. There was nothing separate, nothing unacceptable to it. Everything was its very own self. For the first time, it experienced the love of its own life. It was amazed. All this took place beyond time. But when I put it into language, I have to backtrack and fill in. While I was lying on the floor, I understood that when I was asleep, prior to cockroach or foot, prior to any thoughts, prior to any world, there is nothing. In that instant, the four questions of the work were born. I understood that no thought is true. The whole of inquiry was already present in that understanding. It was like closing a gate and hearing it click shut. It wasn't I who woke up. Inquiry woke up. The two polarities, the left and right of things, the something-nothing of it all, woke up. Both sides were equal. I understood this in that first instant of no time. To say it again, as I was lying there, in the awareness, as the awareness, the thought arose, it's a foot. And immediately I saw that it wasn't true, and that was the delight of it. I saw that it was all backward. It's not a foot. It's not a cockroach. It wasn't true, and yet there was a foot. There was a cockroach. But there was no name for any of these things. There were no separate words for wall or ceiling or face or cockroach or foot or any of it. So it was looking at its entire body, looking at itself, with no name. Nothing was separate from it. Nothing was outside it.